Year to you. Happy New Year. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis. Figured it's the first day of the year. We might as well start the first, right? Genesis chapter 17. I want to talk to you this morning about resolutions and the difference between resolution and vision. There's a difference. Genesis chapter 17. We're going to begin reading in verse 15. God is speaking to Abraham here, and he says, or it says, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you're no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said unto God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Wow. Talk about a story now. God said, guess what? Sarah's going to bear you a child. And Abraham fell face down on the ground. Now, this is not when you hear about people falling prostrate before the Lord. That's not what he was doing. He was laughing so hard he couldn't stand up. He fell on the ground like, bah, I can't believe that. He said, "How? I'm 100 years old, and she's 90. I'm old, but she ain't no spring chicken either." Now, how, you know, he couldn't understand how that was going to work. God gave Abraham a vision. He gave him a vision, and we're going to talk about that, but he didn't just give him a little snippet. He explained to him with pretty good detail about how he was going to bless him and how he was going to be a blessing through this child to all nations. He gave him a vision. There's a verse in Proverbs 29, verse 18, says, in the King James Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So I want to talk to us today about having vision, catching a vision, getting a vision, not just making resolutions, a promise, which, you know, we typically when you think of New Year, we think of resolutions. And we talked about this a little bit Wednesday night. If you were here about resolutions, you know, I'm going to do something. Well, if it's just words, or if I'm going to do something just because I'm going to do it, I'm going to say I'm going to do it just because I think it needs to be done, if there's not something more behind it, you're probably doomed for failure. What causes resolutions to become successful is when there's a vision attached to it. Now, visions don't come from you and I. Visions we're talking about come from God. So, we're going to talk about that. A God-sized vision is when you get a vision from God and you fall down laughing because there's no way you could ever accomplish this thing. No way you could ever do it. You catch his vision from God, and you're like, bah, I can't believe that. You fall down like Abraham. You fall down laughing. Sometimes we want to do what Abraham did. Sometimes we say, oh, okay, God gave me this vision. I don't see how it's going to happen, but wait. I've already got kind of a start on that over here. Lord, bless Ishmael. I've already got him. Let him be the one. I've already got him. Yes, I got this vision, and I've already got this kind of established over here, so take that vision and apply it to him. Let this be the fulfillment of your vision. Thank you. And we do that in our lives, don't we? God says, here's what I want you to do, and we're going like, oh, man, wow. Well, you know what? Maybe I could rearrange this other thing over here a little bit, and that can be done, and it'll be easy. It's already half done. God didn't work that way all the time. I'm not saying he can't use stuff we've already got in place. What I'm saying is when God gives you a vision, He also gives you what you need to accomplish the vision. He gives you the stuff to do the work with. He gives you the tools. He gives you the materials. He gives you the financing to get more materials if you need them. He takes care of that stuff for us. Bless Ishmael. Sometimes we want to reevaluate our past or change the outcome that has already come out. We do that. I want to talk to you about three things I believe about vision. First, there's a slide. Show that next slide. This little saying I ran across, and it really caught me. Today is the tomorrow you talked about yesterday. Yesterday, what did we call today? Tomorrow. Today's that day. Today is the tomorrow you talked about yesterday. Have you ever said, well, one of these days, I'm going to start that diet? Tomorrow. Guess what? Tomorrow is still tomorrow. Yeah. Well, guess what? Today is that day. Today is the day when you said, you know what? One of these days, I want to. Guess what? Today's that day. One of these days, I think God wants me to. Guess what? Today is the tomorrow you talked about yesterday. I love that little phrase. I'm about to print that out and put it on my desk or something somewhere. Three things I believe about vision. Number one, vision always involves change. Vision always involves change. Resolutions don't always involve change. Think back about some of your resolutions. If you've ever made a New Year's resolution, think back to some of them. Sometimes you may be asked, well, what's your New Year's resolution? Well, that's the same as last year. Same as last year. Why is that? Well, because I wasn't successful last year. I won't give it another shot this year. Okay? Resolutions don't always involve change. There is no change in resolutions all the time. We change God's vision into a resolution when we back up and try to live the Ishmael life. We take a resolution. We make a resolution and it starts to get a little difficult. It starts to get hard. Things get complicated. We get busy. Things get muddled up. We say, well, you know what? I know I wanted to do that, and I said I was going to do that, but maybe there's another way I can figure out how to get that done, and I don't really have to do it. We do that. Am I the only one? Is anybody else ever experienced that? Two of you, three. Okay, now you're being a little more honest. All right. We do that. We look for the easy way out. Well, it's a little bit difficult. It's harder. I don't have time. Things come up, unexpected things, real things. But we've just kind of put this thing on the priority list a little lower than maybe where it ought to be. We turn it into something we can figure out. Okay, God said, guess what? I'm going to give you a son. You're 100, your wife's 90, I'm going to give you a son. He was like, okay, I don't know how that works. But I've already got a son. I can figure that out. I can't figure out how God's going to give me a son now, today, but I've already got one. I can figure this out. God says to us, I want you to do something. I've got something in plan for you. And we don't have any clue how that's going to ever accomplish. We can't see it. It's impossible. So we start thinking about how we can figure something out, something that we can understand. Guess what? We don't always understand God. We don't always understand how He works, what He wants to do in and through us. He gives us just what we need to know when we need to know it. We're kind of on a need-to-know basis, right? He'll tell us what we need to know when we need to know it. Many churches are stagnant today because they're doing things that man wants them to do. They've not caught the vision from God. They're working on stuff that they can understand. They're working on things that, well, this is easily accomplishable for us. I don't even know if those are real words or not, but I'm going to use them. This is something that we can understand. We can figure this out. We'll do that. Not looking to God for vision. You see what I'm talking about? Many churches are like that. I'm not saying that we're like that, but many churches are like that. They They want to do something that they can figure out. Now, Abram's wife, her name was Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, and he named it, just one little letter, renamed her Sarah, changed the I to an H, S-A-R-A-H, Sarah. And it means a lot, the name changed meaning in that. Why did he do that? Why did God change name? We talked about, you know, if you've been with us the last 6 weeks or so, we've talked about names of God, but we talked about names, and names are important. Names are, you know, mean a lot to us. You know, if you've ever had a child, you put thought into what you're going to name that child, right? And if you're like us, after she was born, you looked at her and said, "It doesn't look like that. Come up with a new name." My sweet Erin. She was supposed to be an Emily. But she looked like an Erin. And she's an Erin. She wouldn't have been a very good Emily. But she's an awesome Erin. Names mean something. God changed her name. Has your name been changed? We talked about that, didn't we? If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've claimed Him as your Lord, asked Him to forgive you of your sins, He's given you a new name. He's given you a name. He's given you His name. He is Jesus Christ. He has called us, given us the right to be called His children. He's given us the name of Christian, little Christ. He's given us a name. There's a reason for that. It's because we're new. Just like this year is brand new, He's given us a brand new life, a brand new outlook, a brand new eternal destination. It's new. Has your name been changed? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was without Christ, and now I'll never be without Him again for all of eternity. There's a difference. A change happens when we accept that, when God touches our life, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we're just, God reaches out, and we look at Him, we accept His offer of salvation to us. He extends that to us, we accept that, and that's just, there's something that, it changes forever. And it makes us brand new. The second thing, the first thing is vision always involves change. The second thing is that vision is specific. Vision is specific. Not like, I just want to love God more. Okay, it's pretty general, right? How are we going to love God more? That's getting a little more specific. God was specific. In verse 16, He told Abraham, He said, "I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I'll bless her so that she will be the mother of all nations. The king, kings of peoples will come from her." He said, not only am I going to give you a child, I'm going to give you a son. Thank you. That's what happens when you stay up too late. In verse 19, God gets a little more specific. Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac." Getting really specific with Abraham, right? He said, not only are you going to have a child, you're going to have a son child. And this son child, you're going to name him Isaac. And kings of peoples will come from him. Getting a little more specific the more we go into it. God does that with us. Sometimes we get God-sized vision, but we're too afraid to tell anyone about it. They're going to think I've lost my mind if I tell them that, God. I think I can believe you in this, but I'm not telling anybody. They're going to think I'm a loon. They're going to talk about me. They're going to do whatever. We're scared. There's a fear of failure, a fear of ridicule, afraid of what our image looks like. And you know what else I think we're afraid of? If God gives us a vision, one of the reasons we're afraid to tell it, because then we'll be held accountable. not only do I know what God told me, God knows, but if I tell them, they're going to expect me to do it. Wow. And we're afraid of that sometimes. Until we get it figured out, until we're confident and sure that we can do it and we know exactly how we're going to do it, then we'll tell people about it. But it's that unknown factor, that trusting God, that faith measure is where we get hung up in it, y'all. Vision is specific. The third thing is that vision is impossible to achieve by us. God uses us, but the power is all His. Abraham got the vision, right? God gave him the vision. You're going to have a son. You're going to have a son named Isaac. Very specific. Something had to happen for that son to be conceived. Abraham had a job to do. He had to act on it. Abraham had to act on the vision that God gave him, y'all. We're the same way. When God gives us a vision, He doesn't give it just to entertain us in the middle of the night. Doesn't give it to us just to entertain us as we're reading God's Word. He didn't give it to us just to entertain us, y'all. He gives it so that we'll act on it. He gives it to us so that we'll see just a glimpse of what He wants to do, or at least what our part in that plan is. And He gives it to us so that we'll act on it. What impossible task is God asking you to do? Save my marriage? Sometimes that's an impossible task. We look at it and it's absolutely impossible. Get out of debt? I don't know how. I don't know how we could ever do that, God. It's impossible. Be an agent of change in my school? In my work, in my office building, with my crew, in my neighborhood, in my family. Sometimes we look at those folks, and believe me, I understand. We look at it and we think, that's impossible. That's impossible. So what we do instead is we just sit back and say, that's impossible. Can't happen. So we sit back and we do nothing. We have to be like Abraham. We have a responsibility. We have to act. We have to get involved. We're the agent of change that God uses to accomplish His vision, y'all. Some people around you may say, get real. Just like with Abraham. Get real, Abraham. People don't have children at 90 years old. They can't do that. They may look at you and say, hey, look, divorce is just a part of the way we do things these days. It's inevitable. Nobody can stay together. Debt, look, debt is just accepted. You're going to be in debt. You're going to die in debt. Accept it and move on. It's the American way. They may look at you and say, look, kids are going to be kids. Don't expect too much from them. It's impossible to expect a child, a kid, to do right, to act right, to be right, to grow up right. They're going to just mess it all up. Don't expect too much of them, you might hear people say. Maybe you hear somebody say, look, this certain addiction is just absolutely inescapable. I can't get away from it. It's impossible. I could never get rid of this addiction I have. Or maybe this, everyone knows that a little old rural church out in the middle of nowhere can't grow and thrive in a place like this. There's not even a town there, y'all. How do you expect something to be vibrant and growing and glowing and happening in a place like that? Everyone knows we don't have the resources for this or that. We're just a little old country church. That's all we're ever going to be, just little old us. Don't expect too much from us. It's impossible. We can't do it. Y'all, I'm telling you. Catch the vision. I don't believe that's what God called us to do. I don't believe God called us as a church to settle. I don't believe God's called us to settle in our homes, in our workplace, in our lives. He didn't call us to settle. He has work for us to do. And He supplies what we need to get it done. Vision is impossible to achieve by us. We got to believe it. It's impossible. I don't know how it can happen, but God does. Number four, our response to God-sized vision has got to be obedience. In Genesis, a little bit further down the road, in Genesis 18, down there, about in verse 9, I'm going to read this passage. These three visitors came to Abraham, and God was in their presence. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." That's getting even more specific, right? This time next year, a son, a boy named Isaac, where kings will come from him. Getting more specific. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years. Not only were they old, they were also well advanced in years. I love that. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So, verse 12, Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" This is God saying that. He said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Is anything too hard for the Lord? She laughed, and God said, "Why'd she laugh?" As if to say, "Why do you always laugh in disbelief when I give you my vision? Abraham, you couldn't even stand up. You fell down laughing. Now Sarah's in here laughing in the tent to herself." We can find ourselves getting into the same habit of laughing off God's vision for us and thinking it as a preposterous ideal. God, are you crazy? That can never happen. Can never happen. Is anything too hard for the Lord, he said. Let me ask you that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you believe that? It's easy to say. Sometimes it's more difficult to say it and believe it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. We know nothing's too hard for the Lord. It's time to stop laughing and start leading. It's time to start catching God's vision. Believing that God wants to accomplish something in and through us, where we are and in who we are today, right now. January 1, 2012. Start leading people to God's vision, leading other people to God's vision, believing that God is going to work in our lives, in our church, in our families, and then act. Put motion to the vision. Let me tell you, if you had told me 5 years ago, 5 years ago that I'd be a pastor, I might have been like Abraham, fell down laughing. You know, I was running machinery, digging in the dirt and running dump trucks up and down the road and organizing this and that. If you'd have told me I was going to be a preacher, I might have just fallen down laughing. But listen, God gave me a vision. God accomplished an impossible vision when I believed and when I acted. Who would have thought that 2 years ago here, 2 years ago, who would have thought that we would have had 30 kids on the stage on a Sunday night and over 100 people sitting in the pews out here watching this awesome children's program? Who would have thought it? Honestly, I wouldn't have thought it when I came a year and a half ago. But listen, somebody caught that vision. People put that into motion. And God honored it, and God blessed it, y'all. Who would have thought? It's because people believed and they acted. And there have been other incredible things happening here at Dolan Baptist Church. Things that we could never have dreamed about. God gives us the vision, the resources, the leaders. We just need to believe and to act. act. It's sometimes where we get hung up. Sometimes even if we believe that it's somebody else is going to do it. Guess what? If God gave you the vision, there's a reason He gave you the vision. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Our response to God-sized vision has got to be obedience. Ask God to give you a vision. Write it down. Believe it. And put it into motion. Act on it. In Matthew 17, Jesus talks about the faith the size of a mustard seed. Nothing will be impossible for you, He told them. His disciples said, nothing will be impossible for you if you believe and act on it. In Luke, the disciples asked Jesus Himself, said, God, Lord, increase our faith. So we have to have faith. Ask God to increase our faith. And then read God's Word. Psalms chapter 1, in the first four verses, tell us to meditate on it day and night. Hide God's Word in your heart that we might not sin against God, it says in other places. God's Word is important to us. We're to read it. We're to meditate on it day and night. Think about it nonstop is what that means. 24/7, 366 days a year. This year's leap year. That's 366 days. Commit it to prayer. Commit it to prayer. Act and watch God answer. Act and watch God answer. I'm going to close with another passage in Acts chapter 2. Peter is addressing the crowd. This is when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And he quotes a passage from the book of Joel, the prophet Joel, back in the Old Testament. But he's talking to these people. They accused him of, y'all are being goofy. Are y'all drunk? You know, they were speaking in tongues, and people were able to hear what they were understanding in their own languages. And they said, y'all, you say you've got a vision, but we just think you're crazy. And he says, oh, no. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Guess what? How many of you believe that we're in the last days? I don't know when that last day is. You don't know when it is. The only thing I know is that it ain't coming in 2011. And I know for certain that we're one day closer today than we were yesterday. That's all I know. But it says in the last days, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Visions and dreams. God wants to give us visions and dreams, y'all. Ask for it. Ask for it. Believe it and act upon it. One of God's visions for us all is that we would know Him. One of God's visions for us is that we would trust in Him with what He's given us, and that is a gift of salvation. I don't know where you are today. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you said words, but it's been like a resolution. It didn't have anything behind it. Maybe today is the day you turn that resolution into vision. You put feet to it, and you allow God to change your heart. Maybe you've experienced that. You know, we talk about this every Sunday. Maybe there's somebody here that's experienced that time in their life when they really experienced the touch of God, the touch of the Spirit, and were changed, but it just didn't seem to last, like many of our resolutions. We find ourselves today thinking, wow, maybe God, you'll bless me through Ishmael. Instead of doing something new with me today, you can use something I've already got and bless me through that. Guess what? If God's given you a vision, trust God, believe God, and allow Him to just explode in your life. Renew today, this very first day of the new year. Let this be the very beginning of a great and new relationship. No matter where you are in your relationship, is there room for improvement? Start that today. Wherever you are, allow God to work in you. Allow God to speak to you. Allow God to move in your spirit. I'll be here in the front. Again, we have prayer benches on the side. Whatever you need to do, folks, this is the time to do that. You respond as you see God leading you.